I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sells unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us this evening. Scotty, a couple days in now, are you feeling a little bit better today than you were on Wednesday? Oh,
it's like night and day.
Oh, good. You mean good. It's a better situation then.
Yes, it's so much better.
Good. Okay. Well, we're glad to have
this thing is up and down. It's like good one minute, you feel terrible the next.
It's like the living we walk you through Scott's COVID situation and recovery as much as we do anything else on this show. So we'll give you a score update from the Jazz and also Scott, how he's feeling throughout the rest of this thing. So, Scott,
you want me to give you a score update on me?
Yeah, let me hear
throughout
it.
The show.
Yes, as much as you can update us on your as you feel comfortable with your own personal medical stuff, then that's fine. Scott, we got to jump right into the show here. It's a 7:05 cut on a Friday. I just want to cut loose. Like, I want everybody to know. We're here to have fun tonight. We're just going to have a really good time talking about all the sports across the land. Let's do it right here. We'll start right here with the 7:05 cut. The NFL playoffs is here.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, the Super Bowl is by far the most watched sporting event of the year in the United States, typically with high ratings, of course. But this weekend of NFL wildcard football, it is the most that we watch football as a country. We come together on wildcard weekend to watch unholy amounts of football. It's my favorite weekend in sports, and there's so much going on. Let's run down a Saturday and Sunday schedule for everybody out there. And what I'm going to do, Scott, after we run through the schedule here, I want to get your thoughts on the NFL. The parity is so much better in the NFL than it is in other sports and in other playoff situations across all the
sports. So the last game of the season?
Yes.
This year, the last game, it was a Sunday night game, Washington.
Yes. It
decided the last playoff spot.
Right.
And that's what's great about the NFL, and that's what's great about the end of the season. So much of each game has impact and has meaning, and these players care. Like, they care that they're trying to get into the playoffs. You feel in some places, like, let's take golf. Golfers are like, if I'm in the top 20, fine. I'm in the top 50, I don't care. But in football, it's like, we want a shot to win all of this. And so you get that late in the season, but then you also get it going into the playoffs. And this first round of the playoffs, people are going to care. And really, the NBA, where you go, well, there's maybe a team or two that could win a championship. There's a lot of teams that could actually win and win a championship. And you go, yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah,
and that's great. That's great if you're a fan of football.
Well, that's what I'm going to make you do right now when we go through this. And by the way, you can start watching Saturday morning, tomorrow, 11 a.m. here, and then not and then be done watching football totally by about 9:30 p.m. on Sunday. So it's just game after game after game.
It's a remarkable weekend.
I love Wild Card Weekend. It's great football usually. So let's run down what we've got on a Saturday, and we've got. These teams have seeds, but I think in the NFL, it's funny because we put these numbers next to the team. They don't really matter until the next weekend, I feel like, because unless you're the number one seed and you get a bye week and you get home field advantage, it doesn't really matter. But the second-seeded Bills, first AFC East title in 25 years facing the Colts of Indianapolis that are the seventh seed. This one feels like that the Bills are on a mission, and they will not stop at least until the AFC Championship game.
So what's scary is Josh Allen, and he's scary because he's a guy that, like, he'll do something crazy. And in the playoffs, crazy can be really bad.
It can bite you.
It can really get you. Yeah, and it's a different feeling in the playoffs. And it's a different feeling for a team like Buffalo because there's an expectation. Like, they went through the season, they won.
What are you kidding? They have no exit. The Bills are happy to be in the playoffs.
No, they're not happy. No. No, they're a team. They're a team that people are paying attention to, and so you have the Indianapolis Colts that people are kind of like, yeah, we really don't be surprised if this is a really really good football game. I'm just telling you, this is kind of, you know, Josh Allen learning how to win. When he's on top and he's no longer kind of jumping up and surprising you, he's a guy that people are aware of now. And how does he handle that? And how does he play? Because it's different. I'm just telling you. One thing with all this, though, Alex,
yes,
that really is a disappointment and will be a factor is there's no fans.
Yeah, and that's an advantage to those teams that have the bigger numbers next to them, for sure.
Massive, massive.
So let's mow through these here real quick. Sure. I already don't like your attitude about this next game, the Rams and the Seahawks. The Rams, six seed, visiting.
If Jared Goff doesn't play, the Rams will lose, but they got a good defense, Alex.
They just lost a couple of weeks ago in Seattle. They're going back up there to Seattle to play.
I know, and you know what? That actually plays to their favor.
Because they're like, we were just here, we barely lost, or at least we had a shot.
Well, and teams get overconfident. They go, "Hey, we beat them before."
All right, I'm gonna ignore that.
I'm not trying to personally against you. I'm just telling you.
Then this game that everybody's been waiting for. My son's very interested in this one. The Buccaneers, 11-5. They're the 5 seed, but they're going to the losing record Washington football team at 7-9, and Ron Rivera coaching a losing team once again in the playoffs. He's done it before. Can they get the win over Tom Brady and the Buccaneers?
No.
Okay, moving right on. I hope not. Honestly, I don't want to reward teams that have losing records. And specifically, the NFC East, it's really embarrassing that the
game should be in Washington.
It's really bad.
Yeah. If you win your division, fine, but you got to have a winning record.
What an embarrassing division, though. That's the whole thing.
It really should be. Yeah, you should have to go on the road. Only winning 6 games in the season. They lost 10 games.
No, they only lost 9. They were 7-9. That's why they were, quote-unquote, so good. That's why they're the NFC champions.
They're going to lose 10 games.
Scott, on Sunday, the Ravens and the Titans. That's a closer game this year than it was last year. And that was the Ravens were, like, way far in the stratosphere. The Titans roll in there. They roll up their kind of blue-collar shirts, and they went to work, and they ended up getting past the Ravens last year.
The Titans are a team that know how to win in the playoffs. And you, I would expect this would, you know, if you want an upset, then the Titans going to the Ravens is an upset.
That's the thing is that the Ravens are actually the lower seed this year. The Titans are the higher seed, and they're hosting this year. So the tables have sort of turned here.
Oh, so it's at Tennessee.
Yes, it's at Tennessee, and the Ravens, you know, last year they were 14-2, and now they're not anywhere near that. The class of the AFC is, of course, the Chiefs, and they find themselves in the middle of that thing. Now this one seems like it's a done deal. Sometimes I don't even know how the Bears got to the playoffs, but they're there. Mitch Trubisky, he's gotten them there. The 7 seed Bears at the second seed Saints there in the NFC.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears won.
Well, you stop it with this stuff.
No, I'll tell you what.
By the way, this game, they're playing it on Nickelodeon. It's
my goodness.
CBS, I'm Nickelodeon, and Amazon Prime. It's insane.
Just because it was SpongeBob SquarePants. Look, Mitchell Trubisky weathered some massive storms. He got benched. And to come back and to get your team in the playoffs it says something about his character. You may not like him as a player, you may not whatever, but character kind of helps you win in the playoffs. And when there's no expectation, there's no – like every no one's given the Bears a shot. But I'm telling you, this team, there's a resilience there. And they have some ability defensively. And so and Drew Brees, he's just a throw. He's a play away from – you know, it's kind of at the end of the road for – you know, if it was Drew Brees for 4 years ago, it's a different story. But it's not. And so I'm just saying there's a potential – of an upset here. That's all I'm saying.
Let's finally, Scott, speaking of upsets, this one is one of your upset darlings real quick here. The Browns at the Steelers. Of course, the Browns won in Week 17 against all the Steelers' second and third string teams. And the Browns are without their head coach and a couple of players because of COVID.
Yeah, but the Steelers are just not that good. I mean, they're a team that just – maybe the playoffs will be a way for them to reset and get back their focus because they have been a bad football team for the last month of the season.
Imagine that. You win 12 games in the year, and Scott Mitchell says you're not a very good football team. How dare you?
Yeah.
We're going to take the break here.
It's what I do.
When we come back, we've got a couple things you don't want to miss. A preview to Cougar Sports Saturday for tomorrow. Tom Holmo sat down with Mitch Harper. We'll interview on Cougar Sports Saturday for Saturday. I've got a couple clips you don't want to miss. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. And you know, we're right in the middle of winter. Right in the middle of it. But man, there's no snow. Alex, do you ever see I watch the Utah snowpack.
Yeah, you like to see you love seeing the percentages that mean nothing to the rest of us. But you're like, 87% by December, that's good. But now they're like, we're at 11% of our
snow.
It's snowpack.
Really bad right now.
I get it, but we saw this in the Olympics in 2002. You remember that?
And then, no, I wasn't here then. It affects me emotionally.
Oh, gosh.
It does, because if we don't have the snow, then we don't have the runoff, and then we don't there's no water in the lakes.
That affects your rivers and lakes, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And I fish. Yeah. And I want to have water for the
you
fish.
You could be totally dried up. The Strawberry Reservoir might not even – it might just be a foot deep next year. You'd be hiking down in there to get those last few fish. Listen, relax. We've had
– I just want
– The last few years have been a ton of water. And
it's not water right now, Alex. I'm just telling you. I'm worried about it.
I know, but we're not – look, settle down. Stop just basing everything off of the runoff, okay? Look, you and your runoff this week. The Georgia runoff, the snow runoff. It's all you care about these days, Scott, not the show.
Do you know that Utah is the second driest state in the country?
Is this always the way it is, though? Yes.
No,
are you talking about this year?
No, always.
I know. We live in the desert, Scott.
Yeah. And Nevada is number one.
We confuse. I know. And they steal half of our water, by the way.
And don't you go to Nevada and just feel like it's dusty?
I go to Nevada and go, why are we giving these guys our water, man?
I just always feel dusty. It's like my throat is dry, and it just feels dusty in Nevada.
This trash-talking segment about Nevada brought to you by the Utah Tourism Committee. All right, so here's what we're going to do, Scott. We've got these Tom Holmo comments that he sat down and had an interview with our own Mitch Harper, and you're going to be able to hear the entirety of that tomorrow on Cougar Sports Saturday. I want to bring that up in just a minute here. But first, I want to talk about the college football playoff. It's coming up on Monday, right? And rather than people talking about how – and I love this because I don't care about the talk about Alabama and Ohio State. I don't want to see the breakdown of Justin Fields' film and Devontae Smith on film. I don't want to see that because guess what? Either Ohio State or Alabama are going to be national champs this year again. One of those teams are going to be the champs, and I'm going to have to say, okay, at least I hope it's a decent game. But this is brought to light, and if 2020 has done nothing else, it has shown a light on how terrible the college football playoff situation is. Now, not shockingly, Scott, the college football playoff committee has gotten together, and they have said, the commissioners have said, that that the 14 playoff is the best thing for the sport. Now, there are still 5 years left on that contract, by the way, and these guys are being paid in the upper six figures to be on that committee. Or on that as commissioners of that committee. So they say it's the best thing. But out of the 28 total semifinal spots that have been available over the last 7 years, 16 of those have gone to Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State.
Which is just – it's just –
It stinks.
It's now, awful.
Imagine being – and listen, being a coach in 2020, 2021 means you are trying to recruit against that, against the system that only pays attention to a handful of teams across the country. And these kids want to get drafted in the NFL, and I get it. These 4- and 5-star guys are going to 6 teams total. And they're going there, and then guess what's happening now? Guess what we're finding out now? They go there, and they're there for a year, and then they hit the transfer portal. This is not good for college football. You know why? And these, I've got some quotes here. Let me quote Mack Brown, who, by the way, used to be a part of that big machine, but now he's getting a little bit of a taste of a non-blue blood program as the University of North Carolina's head coach. And he said, look, you have to have something to play for, and you have to make fans engaged, because right now you've got 4 or 6 teams that have been involved and nobody else. It's the elite who keep getting better, and everybody else is just trying to get noticed. And I thought, I had that thought, Scott, of just getting noticed, and how that's exactly how we talk about everybody else. Hey, where are they going to be? Where's Utah maybe going to be in the first 2 weeks of the college football playoff discussion? And all you want to do is hear their name somewhere. It's just about getting noticed, and it's not about whether or not they're a good team, because no one really knows yet. At that point, with the first couple of weeks of the college football playoff rankings, where they've already got, you know, the first 4 decided, or it's really close to what it'll probably end up looking like if those teams stay undefeated.
Alex,
talks about those teams, and you're just trying to get talked about a little bit.
You know, yeah, it's more than talk, though. You know what would happen if they expanded the playoffs? Do you know what would happen?
We would all be a lot happier because we'd watch a lot better football.
Well, we would, but I'll tell you what would happen. There would be teams that you would not expect that would actually win, and I think it would surprise a lot of people. But if you're someone who, like, they talk about college football being about a big business, right? Why would you not want to improve your business? I mean, there comes a point, and I think people have passed this point. Like, they go, okay, Alabama's playing Ohio State for the national championship again. Like, it gets so old, and people get so turned off by it that you're not getting the value out of it that you really could expand.
Nobody is, and
no one is.
And I think that the reality is that there are a lot of people who are making a lot of money at the top. And I think that everybody's afraid. They're guarding that bowl. They think that if the college football playoff and the iteration that we have now goes away, then they'll be found out. Just like the BCS. The BCS was busted because you looked at it and you went, what is a computer and a couple of guys deciding this thing for us? Now we just move straight to a playoff committee and they decide it. And that's not good enough either. And so let me read a couple of things. So some of these commissioners of some of these conferences, Larry Scott said something. I don't care what Larry Scott says. But here's what Craig Thompson of the Mountain West said. He said, look, if at the end of the day, after 2 or 3 rounds of however many teams might be involved, 16, 8, whatever the number is, if you look around and say, okay, these teams have won 3 games, and here you go, Clemson and Alabama again. Maybe you started with 1 versus 16, and maybe it's David and Goliath, but isn't that what the sport is all about? And that's the point, is like, okay, if they are that good, then there are 2 things here.
I think they'll decide that they're that good, and
then we just say, that's it. We just say they're going to be that good, and we put them in there. Instead of saying, have them play a couple of games, you're going to get upsets, which is exactly what we want to see, Scott.
Right.
We want to see teams that never had a chance historically to be able to have a chance.
And then it makes it much more interesting. And you remember March Madness? March Madness didn't start off as March Madness. It grew. You know, it was
because,
like,
we love that competition, because upsets did happen.
Exactly.
And we wanted even more.
And it's compelling. And so you have a system like this that I think people are afraid of, but I'm telling you, and I said this the other day, Cincinnati was a very good football team and they deserved a shot. And Cincinnati, in a playoff situation, would have really made an impact. They would have been a team that would have actually been there at the end of the day.
I don't know what a number is. I don't know what a perfect number is for a playoff. But why can't they just start?
Well, there's so many teams.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you could have a rather significant. You could have 16 teams. I mean, I know that's it's so that's so radical and it's so many.
Yeah, but it's 1 out of 10. I mean, that means what you're talking about is the 90th percentile of the college football cream of the crop, so to speak. So,
I mean, the top 15 teams in the country.
That's awesome. It's amazing. Right. And so, in the end, when you talk about trying to compare the college football playoff with the NCAA tournament, I get that they're not the same, and I get it. But I'll tell you what is the same is the desire, because in the end, you don't see a lot of upsets on the national championship level. What you do is you see upsets in those first and second rounds, and then a different champion that you may have expected from the beginning because maybe a team didn't feel like showing up or they took somebody lightly. You know, the UCMBs of who was the team who upset the Virginia? They were the 16 seed, the UMBC or whoever it was. They were like
University
the Golden Labradors.
Maryland
at Baltimore, and so they go in there. They make this upset happen. It's the first time ever out of like 300 tries. But you know what? The 15 seed upsets the two every so often, and then every time you go up, a few more upsets here and there. But generally, the best team still usually wins, and I'm okay with that. But my heavens, let's play a few more football games that are better for us to watch. That's the only thing I think is I don't think it's going to change that Alabama's not going to be the NCAA champion. I think they will be. I think Ohio State more often than not would win more so than a Boise State, of course. But let's play the games on the field instead of just always saying, yeah, you don't deserve to even play them. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. Those comments from Tom Holmoe to our own Mitch Harper, you're going to hear him right here, some of the things he talked about, how this college football season, the crazy thing that it became, how BYU was able to pull it off. You'll hear some of those quotes next right here on KISS.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. I was trying not to jinx us, Scott, because last time that we got into this thing when the Jazz were playing during our show, I was giving out score updates in the first half because I was like, oh, man, they're doing awesome. They ended up losing against the Knicks, and I told you, they'll probably end up going to Milwaukee and playing a lot better, and here they are in the third quarter with 4 minutes left in the third, the Jazz up 87-81 on the Bucks. So, yeah, I don't know what to think about this team, but certainly it's weird. I guess the early parts of the schedule are always weird as these teams try to figure themselves out. And look, we don't know anything about basketball. Case in point,
I'm
like, at least at this point of the year, case in point, the Phoenix Suns are like 6-2 and they're leading. They're like second place in the West right now. So,
well, I could have told you the Phoenix Suns were going to be a good team this year.
Oh, because they went undefeated in the bubble? Come on.
Well, no, because they started to amass some pretty good
players. I get it, but I just refuse to believe. I just refuse to recognize a world where the
The Jazz messed up when they got rid of Ricky Rubio.
He's already moved on from the Suns too, though. You're saying that whole thing, he kind of set the bar down there, and then he left again to go back up to his beloved Minnesota. All right. Dude, what do you think he loves more, Utah or Minnesota? Because he's back in Minnesota.
You know how cold it is in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. But did you tell him about the snowpack here? It's not very good this year. He knows about that, too.
He understands it.
Scott, tomorrow at 12:35 on KSL News Radio on Cougar Sports Saturday, you can hear this interview in its entirety. It's Tom Holmoe sitting down with our own Mitch Harper, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. You can hear that tomorrow. I have a couple things I wanted to play. We've been just really, really glad that BYU was able to have the season that they did, not just because they were able to play 12 games and win, you know, 11 of those, but every week we had something, Scott. Even in those weeks when everybody else seemed to be shutting it down or COVID protocols, this or that and the other, we were able to say, hey, Zach Wilson's starting his fourth game of the year. He's having a pretty decent year so far. You know, whatever it was, but we were always in awe that with all the things that were going on around us, Tom Holmoe was able to put this season together. We've just been really tons of respect to Tom Holmoe and what he's done for the program this year for BYU, right?
Yeah, I mean, if a team did it right this year, it was certainly BYU. And Tom Holmoe was just, I mean, he was a magician. I mean, really, I mean, I still can't get over that day when their schedule just imploded.
Down to two games.
And they had two games.
Yep.
And you're just like, wow.
And you know what the two games were? San Diego State and North Alabama.
Right. And you're just in your mind, you're just like, wow, this is not. I was feeling so sorry for BYU. I was just like, oh, is this going to be a bad year? And then they just put together a magical year. But you have to, you know, Tom Homo was great, but so was Kalani, and so was the whole football organization. They just had the right attitude about things, you know. Just and I'm sure if these teams like in the Pac-12 and Utah, if they'd have started earlier, I really think that the season would have been much, much better for them. I think a lot of things actually, they probably would have got a lot of games in earlier in the season. It would have been a much better experience for all of these players. But I'm telling you, BYU, they were the poster children for handling it the right way with COVID.
Let's listen to some of the things, because we were kind of made aware of how difficult it was just to get this season going. And one of the things that Mitch asked him, asked Tom Homo was about, was if he was surprised that it had gone as far as it did, or if he thought the season was going to get canceled.
You know, I never thought that we wouldn't have a season. I just thought it would be really shortened. We when you saw that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten were not going to play, and the MAC came out, the Mid-America Conference came out early and said they weren't going to play, the Ivy League said they weren't going to play. Those were all indicators of bad news.
Bad news. I was like, I love how we always bring up, I think, let me just say this. We did this in basketball too. We give way too much weight for whatever the Ivy League is saying. Who has ever cared what Cornell's football team was going to say?
Well, they cared back in the 1800s.
Because they invented football. Yeah. Okay, so here's the next one here about, he said it really came down to one conference in particular. I was actually pretty shocked as to who it was.
Yeah. It wasn't looking good at all, but they were saying they're going to do everything they could to play. And that kind of inspired me and it gave me hope.
He's talking about the Big 12, by the way.
Right.
That even though the Pac-12 and the Big Ten were out, that we could do it. And it took the SEC, and the SEC and ACC came in first, and then the Big 12 was going to be the teeter. If the Big 12 was out, they would have canceled the college football season.
Wow.
And when the Big 12 said, we're in, then we had three P5s in, and from that point, it started to unfold. And that is what I was kind of hoping for.
To think that then the phone calls start flying around and you start picking up teams, you start having relationships with teams you've never even heard about. And I'm sure BYU fans felt the same way. Criticize the schedule as much as you want. They played 12 games this year, Scott. And look, Zach Wilson owes everything to Tom Homo for putting that thing together. Zach Wilson had the year that he did and is likely a top five pick in the NFL for a lot of these guys on their draft boards because Tom Homo and, you know, and some of these, commissioners said, we're just going to push forward and do this thing.
See, I don't really care about who BYU played. I'm not sitting here going, oh, yeah.
Everybody else does, Scott. But everybody loves telling me about how terrible their schedule is.
I could care less about that. What I care about and what was impressive, and it was impressive from the Navy game on, was BYU showed up. They showed up to play. In years past, I think that's been a frustration where they potentially played down to their opponents, or they were uninspired, or they were unemotional, or they just, it just didn't seem like they really cared that much. And you didn't get that. When they played an opponent and the opponent was not very good, they put it to them, and they were willing. I love that they went and played Coastal Carolina. It's unfortunate that the game didn't end up the way they wanted, but there's just this attitude of, you know, we're gonna play to win. We're not gonna sit back on things. And that's what, to me, if anything came out of the season for BYU, for me, it was that right there, that they just said, look, we're going to show up and play every week, and we don't care who it is, and we're going to put forth a great effort. And I think it was really beneficial for a guy like Zach Wilson and where he's going to end up, and I think it's beneficial for the whole program, and that they set a standard. And hopefully it's something that they can continue to build on, and and go into the future with, because it's really disheartening as a fan to watch just lackluster play and attitude.
And let me play one last clip here from Tom Holmoe, that you hear the full interview in its entirety tomorrow on KSL's Cougar Sports Saturday. This is what he had to say about what the schedule will look like if, you know, they're not feeling great about where they're at COVID-wise for next season.
So when you start talking about the 21-22 athletic year, I still feel like we're going to have to play that very cautiously. We're all hoping that the vaccine is around and that those numbers will begin to drop, and that herd immunity starts to, that term we heard a long time ago, starts to take place. But we're going to stay to our philosophy, which has been take it a day at a time, look out and try to make plans, but those plans are in chalk.
I feel like everybody needs to be flexible going forward. I mean, that's what made it for BYU, the ability to be flexible, and that independence that kind of came after you before and bit you, now it ended up being really good for
BYU. Well, it's hard because you got to plan for the season, yeah. But we don't know what things are going to look like in 4 months. That's a challenge.
We're certainly crossing our fingers. We'll see what ends up happening. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. It's not the MVPs. It's the so-poo-poo list coming up. Yes, the anti-MVPs, the people in sports who earn our distrust and get the anti-awards. So stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell here, making all the noise, and Alex Curry on the other end in silence, which is a rare thing. Alex is not often silent on our show. He has an opinion.
That's a great point.
He speaks eloquently. And
ish.
Right. I got a question for you.
What's up?
Okay, so I was during the break, I'm kind of perusing a few things here. And they're showing these stunt doubles of famous people, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wonder who you're.
Chris Farley. I would have been Chris Farley.
Wow, you, yeah.
No, I'm telling you, and I had Tommy Boy down, all the moves too.
Yeah.
And I am what you can refer to as a can-do fat guy, which is like, you know, the surprisingly adroit kind of athletic fat guy. That's what Chris Farley was too, and I was definitely that guy.
So could you be like the leading man fat guy?
Oh, what do you mean? In what?
I don't know. Could you be that
on Broadway? No, too sweaty.
Not Broadway, like in a movie, like Chris Farley. He was
No, I'm not that talented.
You're not that guy.
I would love to do that. I think my college version of me would say yes, but my more reasonable, like the industry is lame and don't get into Hollywood attitude now, says no.
Oh,
not for me.
Yeah.
No, I listen. There, Chris Farley was my hero growing up. I know that there are people in that same.
There were times when he was over the top. He pushed it a little too far.
Oh my
sometimes.
Goodness! All the time. I really
like Chris Farley.
I loved it. His physical comedy was insane, and just
down
like,
by the river.
Yes, when he was when he would do all that, and I would word for word, I would say I would repeat the Tommy Boy movie. Our car broke down one time.
The best one was Patrick Swayze and the
oh yeah, the Chippendales. Oh yeah.
The best one.
I just love the best part about that is Patrick Swayze winning in the you know, the Chippendale off, you know, between he and Chris Farley.
Yeah.
And Farley just owned it, and just his big old giant hairy belly. Yeah. Patrick Swayze being like, "Oh, but you were great. You were amazing. I can't believe I won in the contest between you and me." Like, it was just that's good stuff. Yes, but Chris Farley, I would have been his.
All right, just I was curious.
You noticed it didn't take me that long to.
No, I didn't even get it out of
very,
my mouth.
It's a short list. It's just like just... Shrek. Is that another? Could I have been the stunt double Shrek? Okay, Scott. It's that time of the night where we award fake awards to real people. And this is an ominous award because normally we do MVPs this time of night. Every so often, when we deem it appropriate, we award the They So Poo Poo Award. Of course, named so by Tyler Huntley, the former quarterback at the University of Utah, who called BYU They So Poo Poo. It sounded a little something like this.
They So Poo Poo.
Still makes Scott laugh after all these months.
It does.
The best part is I'll be whistling this on the way home, unfortunately. I'm not. This is how it goes. An hour from now, when we're about to finish the show, I'll walk out and I'll start singing the They So Poo Poo song. So They So Poo Poo, these are the people who deserve no awards except for an award for being the worst. And so, Scott, you want to start us off here? I know that you had one that was on your mind from this.
Well, no, it's, and I know you probably talked about this while I was gone, and it's not recent, but it is as recent as like last Sunday, and that's Joe Judge, the head coach of the New York Giants, and him saying, you know, that the Philadelphia Eagles just disrespected the game of football.
Well, now hold on a minute, because integrity. He's standing up for integrity of the football game.
Scott. Look, here's the thing. Okay, you want to stand up for something? Really simple. Great. At the end of the season, after you've won six games, you're going to sit here and talk to me about integrity and about how you should win the NFC East with six games. It's like, give me a break. If you want to win and you really want to be relevant, then go out and win more football games. So this isn't an issue. Integrity is not about, gosh, we sure hope someone else wins or loses or beats this team so we can get in, not because we're good enough, but because, you know, just by some blind luck, maybe we'll get a chance to get there because someone else is going to do something for us. You go earn your own way and go out there and keep your mouth quiet if you don't. You know what? You didn't win enough games. You didn't win enough games to get into the playoffs.
It's easy for him to say that, right? Like, of course he'll say that. What a strong sentiment. We want to win football games. Yeah. Oh, you're such a hero. Look, you want to win football games.
Look, in your organization, and they're sitting there and they're going, okay, our draft position and a draft pick is much more important to us today than a one and done in the playoffs, because any team from the NFC East is going to be – they're going to be out of it after one game. So getting someone – you know, if you get a player, let's say – it'll be fascinating to see what happens with the Eagles and the pick they get and what it would have meant, what pick they would have gotten. And, you know, because this is NFL history. I mean, when you get a player or the potential of a player who could be with your organization for the next 15 to 20 years, and that player ends up being a Hall of Famer, or that player is a foundational building block to, you know, long-term success and multiple, division championships and possible Super Bowls and all that stuff, that's more important. It just is. And right. So it's not about, you know, oh, you guys are disrespecting the game of football. It's like, if you want respect, win. And don't hope that someone else does it for you.
Right. And you think that, like, that's nice. That's fine and good, Joe Judge. But until your GM or your president or your owner comes down out of their ivory tower and says, hey, man, you need to lose this football game because we could get the third overall pick instead of the ninth overall pick. You will do that, especially if you're not making the playoffs.
And you happily do that.
You will do that, and because you know it will give you a better shot next year. That's why they do it. Look, Doug Peterson's taking a lot of guff this week, and I'm fine with it because – yeah, when you do throw a game, you're going to have to just be ready for that.
But it does feel weird, though.
It does feel weird. No one likes to see it, but
here's the thing. What's weird about it, they weren't subtle about it. You know,
The players, like, on the sideline, they've got confused looks on their faces. They're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And everyone's looking around, and they ask the players after that, did you like the quarterback change? They're like, I'd never even heard of the other guy till this week.
Yeah. I didn't know he was on our team.
I know.
Did they pull someone out of the stands for
I'm
this
not
game?
Upset by it. I was really, really wondering how we
Is
were going to make this
Papali?
Work.
Papali? They bring back Vince Papali? They have some kind of contest going on?
You know what
on?
Was funny was I start to look up Nate Sudfeld or Sunfeld or whatever his name was.
Yeah. Jerry he's right Seinfeld. He's right next to Peterman.
I go,
hey, Peterman.
Hey, there's Peterman. I like that kid's arm there, kid. I was like, I went online and I was like, where did this guy even go to school? And I go on there and Google says, hey, you know what's trending right now? Everybody looking up who Nate Sudfeld is. So I look it up and he went to Indiana and no one cared about him when he was at Indiana either. So there you go. There's the They So Poop Award. Anyway, you judge.
Yeah.
Mine is to, and this one we got to do quickly here, but the TNT crew, Shaq is still going after Rudy. I don't know why.
This guy is one of the best. Awesome. No, he ain't one of them. Stop it. He's one of the best.
Hey, the guy's the
best. Hey, stop it. No, he's not. Players. No, he's not.
He's one.
Shut up. You are a hater, man.
You are a hater.
He ain't one.
Stop it. Defensive player of the year.
Twice.
Come on. Listen, I told you.
He's one of the best players.
As I told you earlier, if you played against Rudy Gobert, he'd be blocking his shot. Her little kids in the front row. He'd be blocking that little slappy hook you shot.
I can't. Those guys talk over each other worse than we do, Scott. And I don't know if that's possible, but my heavens. I mean, like, it's funny, too. So what you had there was Shaq saying he's not good, and he's still going after Rudy. I don't get it. And then you have Kenny Smith and even Charles Barkley coming to the aid of – really, Charles is not like – I don't know if Charles really believes that he's really great, that he's Rudy's great.
He's goading.
Well, not just that. Shaq. He at least wants to tell Shaq that he would block him. Like that's the very least. So so there you go. All right.
Are they picking on Rudy Gobert?
I mean, yes. I mean, it's just, it's easy
they
to
so
do.
They so poo-poo.
They so poo-poo. Let's take the break. We got news, traffic, weather right now. When we come back, second hour. Oh, man, the Jazz are up big right now over Milwaukee. Told ya. I don't want to jinx it, though. We'll come back. We're going to ask Scott about what it's like to play in a division, in a wild card weekend in the NFL playoffs. How you prep for this game. Stay right here with us. More to go right here in KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Happy Friday to you. Hopefully, for a lot of folks, it was their first week back to work after those long holidays. And Scott Mitchell's one of those guys. And so we welcome Scott back. I also got back this week, earlier this week. And so the Jazz finally also got back to work this week. Scott, tonight. With 3 minutes, 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter, the Jazz are up 17 on the Milwaukee Bucks at Milwaukee. We said this was going to happen. Why don't people just listen to us? I said very clearly they will lose by 34 to the Brooklyn Nets. They will lose the next night even to the Knicks, and yet they will still win by double digits over the
That's why we love them, because they drive us crazy.
Isn't it weird? I mean, the interesting thing is, too, I mean, Milwaukee, who's more disappointed in the 5-4 record? Jazz fans or the Milwaukee Bucks fans? Because if the Bucks lose tonight, which it looks like they're on their way to do with 3 minutes left, down 17, if the Bucks lose tonight, they'll be 5-4. Now, this is a team that, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, man, where's your title? You know, they're waiting for that title to come to Milwaukee, because they're a really good team and they're on the rise. But the Jazz now up 20 on the Milwaukee Bucks in the fourth quarter, 3 minutes left. So don't want to jinx that one, Scott. But kicking things off here, this is one of our favorite news segments that we do. It's we're able to just dig down and get the real juicy stuff from a guy who played in the NFL, Scott Mitchell. And, of course, a wild card weekend in the NFL means we get to even go back to some more painful memories. For Scott, it's the Ask Scott Anything.
KSL's Unrivaled. ASA. Ask Scott Anything. Insider questions. Candid answers. Nothing's off limits. Just don't make it awkward. It's Ask Scott Anything.
All right, Scott. Let me see here. So you went to the playoffs with the Lions when, 95 and 97?
Oh, every year.
Every year.
Except for one.
Yeah. Every year except for one.
Yeah, we went to the playoffs a while.
What's your best – I want to know what your best performance in the playoffs was.
Is this the question?
Yes. Like, Scott, I told you.
I don't care about this.
I do. No. Yeah, you should. It's
okay.
I can't ask this question. I can't go home
Miami
and ask
Dolphins,
my wife.
We went to the AFC Championship game.
Okay. Oh, you guys were a game away from the –
Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
And we played the Buffalo Bills at home.
Oh, you played them at your place?
Yeah.
Oh, my heavens.
And they were terrible other than like three plays. And they ran the same play, a screen pass to Thurman Thomas. And he scored three touchdowns on it.
What year is that, 93?
92.
See? Yeah. But they got their comeuppance because they went to the Super Bowl and they lost by 40 to the Cowboys.
Actually, that was the Super Bowl that it was in Atlanta.
So they lost 30-13 to the Cowboys.
It was closer.
Yeah. So, yeah. But still, no Super Bowl that they matched up against the Cowboys were they ever really in it. So
what was really hard though about so like in 1995 we ended the season probably as like the hottest team in the NFL.
Right, and that's when everybody goes, look, watch out for the Detroit Lions.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is when you guys were what? You had to travel to Philadelphia.
Yeah, and you know, it's a weird thing, but so Brett Perriman got hurt early on in the game. That impacted our ability, you know, because his replacement just wasn't quite the same. And so they basically double teamed Herman Moore and they're just like we're not going to let you throw the ball to Herman Moore. And so we had to find different ways to win, and we just didn't. And the strangest thing, it was a strange thing. There was like, I think we really thought we would just show up and it would be like the normal regular season and we just keep playing, and it was different. And we did not match the intensity of the Eagles because they weren't a great team by any stretch of the imagination, but they just came out with a lot more energy, a lot more focus. And, you know, they threw a Hail Mary at halftime that they actually scored a touchdown on. They had a kick return for a touchdown. So there were just a lot of things that really went their way in the first half. And we just got in a massive hole early.
Is this one of those games?
Played that team 10 times, we beat them 9 out of 10 times.
So
seriously, it was just one of those. And you just go, the sad thing is you just can't have one of those days in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you prepare for, I mean, is it different when you prepare for an NFL playoff game? Like, does it feel a lot different? Because from an outsider, it feels a lot different. Like, it's awesome.
When you play in a regular season game, Alex, there's next week, right? So when you play in a playoff game, there is no next week.
Yeah.
And learning how to understand the significance of that and not let it be too consuming, right? Because I think people can get wrapped up into that too much, and it creates, they don't have their best performances because they're a little bit uptight. Then there are other people that are just like, they just throw caution to the wind. They just go, we just got to go play and we got to win, and we got to just make it happen. And so it's learning how to deal with the finality of the game, that it's a do or die. It's kind of that way. And so that creates it, no matter how you spin it, it creates a different intensity, a different focus. A lot of times, and a lot of these teams have been dealing with that right now, where that was the hard part about, you know, even 1995, because it's like, we can't lose a game the rest of the season or our season's over. So essentially you're in a do or die. Even you know, the last month of the season, and emotionally, it really wears on you. Your team, like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers, right now, you have a massive advantage. Whether you take advantage of that or not, just being able to rest and refocus and know I just got to play two games to win a Super Bowl, so much easier than having to go. Even like the Buffalo Bills, who I think are a really good football team. And it wouldn't surprise me if Buffalo is playing Green Bay in the Super Bowl. Would not surprise me. But they still have to play that extra game. Or you're a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I think are another team that will cause, I would say, Buffalo, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and Green Bay are in the championship games. That's who I would pick, right? But still, Tampa Bay has to go and play a team that's kind of scary because you're supposed to beat them. They're not very good. But still, you got to go to their place to play them. And that's the Washington football team. And all it does is it just exposes you to the potential of losing.
right,
more than if you're a team that doesn't have to play that extra game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I just wonder if that the NFL does everything right, I think, with the playoffs, except for that. That's the one thing where you go, well, why don't you just seed from record from top to bottom? And you have the two best teams playing. I get the conference champion thing.
But the divisions are fun, though, because it creates rivalry. Like, you're a Seahawks fan. You hate the 49ers. You hate the Rams. You kind of hate the Cardinals. And you do because they're your division rivals.
Yeah, you can win the division but still not be as seeded nearly as high. I mean, that's an obvious pick, right? You just go, hey, man, we're not letting you guys be the home team.
Having the division means something. And so you get the playoffs. That's a good thing.
Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to talk about on the program. Jazz winning big toward the end of this game against Milwaukee. We got our NFL roundup right around the corner. Stay right here with us. What pundits are saying about Zach Wilson going into the draft.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.